Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. Is there another light up here? You know, you talked about how old this church is. My eyes are pretty old. So, there you go. Okay. I may even see myself here now. Okay. The second chapter of Mark. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Notice he didn't see the faith of the paralytic. He saw the faith of the four men. Now, some of the scribes were sitting there, and at this time we get music that goes da, 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 da. And they were questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak this? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question thus in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk?'" You see, to them, either one would have been wrong. So Jesus couldn't win there. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet and go home." And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like that." May God instruct our hearts and minds with this portion of his word. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I think to more completely understand this passage of Scripture, it would be good to understand how the homes were constructed in biblical times. The roof of a Palestinian house was usually flat. It was often used as a place for rest and quiet, and there was often an outside stairway that went up the side to the roof. The construction of the roof consisted of flat beams laid across from wall to wall about 3 feet apart. Those beams were filled in with brushwood, and they were packed tight with clay. And then there was a powdery substance called marl that was put on it. Marl is a substance that was used to try and get good soil out of soil that might have been deficient in lime. In fact, a healthy combination of clay and marl often produced a rather healthy group of grass, beautiful grass on the roof. So people would go up, especially at evening, and sit as the sun went down and look out over the area as people walked by. Now, the construction of that roof made it rather easy to dig out a section through the beams to make repairs. So the four men dug out a section to let their friend down into the presence of Jesus. Now, there's several things that must have been present to motivate those four men to perform such an unusual task. The first, and I think the most important, they had to have a profound passion to heal their friend. That came first to them. And second, they had to have a profound passion to believe that Jesus could heal their friend. Those two ingredients had to come together. But then there's a third part of this story, and that's there were so many people listening to Jesus that the door was blocked, and they couldn't get him through the door. So the men had to use their imaginations, and they did. Because you see, the ingredient of love and faith and creativity worked together to bring about the miracle of healing in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now think about all those people gathered in that house, reverently and quietly listening to the promises of God through Jesus. And then suddenly some dirt starts to fall from above. And they look up. And pretty soon a piece of that roof is removed. And more dirt comes on them. And then they're astounded as a man is lowered down into their midst in the presence of Christ. And I can just hear them saying at that point, imagine that. Look what happened. I think it's great to have such incredible creative friends, isn't it? They didn't look at the crowd and say, it's too crowded, let's go home. No, they said, we'll have to find another way to get our friend to Jesus. And like the crowd at Capernaum, I think there are so many obstacles today to overcome to allow the miracles of God and faith to function. If we could remove all the barriers, all the limitations on the issues of our day, what are some of the things we would think of? I know I would let my imagination wander and I'd think of how do we find solutions to end war and cancer and crime and homelessness and poverty and illness? And we might think also about seeking peace and justice and equality. There are many barriers, however. But the reality is that those barriers are the very things that have to be overcome. And I think some of these efforts are being done today, some by organized group. But there are others. Other people who have a vision, who are willing to work quietly behind the scenes to bring about the miracles of healing and change. And I think God rejoices in those who use their imaginations to risk doing something new to break down the barriers to create hope. Listen to a few examples that I pulled out of Scripture. And after each one, I'd like you to say with me, imagine that. All right? Are you ready? Can you say it? Let's hear you.
Imagine.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. You'll get better. Abraham left his home without knowing where he was going, but he was following the call of God because he was told he would bless nations and peoples. Moses led a nation out of bondage after watching a burning bush that was not consumed.
Imagine.
David killed Goliath with a slingshot.
Imagine.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego survived a fiery furnace with prayer.
Yes, amen.
Jesus was born in an isolated stable in an obscure village.
Yes,
and Paul brought pagans to the resurrected Christ.
Yes,
these are all opportunities that were created, that someone took away the limitations and God created miracles. Now let's expand our thinking to the modern world. Bill Gates wasn't content being a computer programmer. And look where he is now. He's in poverty. Edison never stopped because of failures. Mother Teresa wasn't defeated by the politics of Calcutta. Martin Luther King Jr. didn't quit because of brutal attacks. 25 years in prison couldn't break Nelson Mandela's spirit. Sullenberger safely landed his plane on the Hudson River. And this one is most astounding. Modern networking helped the explosion of the Arab Spring. I think that's even more. All these blessings took place because people refused to allow obstacles to dampen the spirits and conquer their faith. People probed and fought and invented and struggled to make humanity more compassionate and more caring. God doesn't want us to perform miracles. God simply wants us to be faithful. And God will perform the miracles. I'm sure the men who lowered their friend into the presence of Jesus never expected what happened. And I'm sure they never expected to be in Holy Scripture. And we don't even know who they are because it didn't matter. It's their actions and their faith and their passion and love for the person that they were presenting to Christ that really mattered. I think all congregations have people like these four men, and this congregation has people like that. Harry Iliff started it. He's from this congregation. How many of you know Harry? Iliff. Him too. What? Imagine that. Very good. You're right on. Harry Iliff started it. George Zoya took it to new heights. And now under the direction of Juanita and Dick Zoya, food from this congregation continues to feed the hungry. Now. Then there's Mary Japs. She was at a meeting at Presbytery and she heard how there was a need for clothing. And so she brought that message here, and Mary joined the effort to collect clothing to take to the Dayton Avenue Presbyterian Church where people can find clothes to wear.
Yes.
All of your clothing that you no longer want, somebody is now wearing. And then I know firsthand that Ruth Jones, and I know she's right here, has a heart for missions, for the ministry of Christ around the world. She continues to work tirelessly to give leadership to missions, the League of Women Voters, Niger, and many other needy areas.
Yes.
See? Told you. I went to Presbytery with her this week and told her I had her in my sermon this week. Imagine that. As you go through life this next week, I'd like to let you and ask you and plead with you to let the love of Christ break all the limitations and the barriers that often keep us from hearing the cries, seeing the needs, or responding to the call of God to serve the least of these. Let the love of Christ open your eyes in a unique way. Then when you see a magnificent sunset or sunrise, or you look at your loved ones or your friends or the needy, then we can all shout with renewed joy all together, imagine that. And you know what? Then God will perform miracles. Amen.